Amen. Would you please turn to Genesis chapter 19? Genesis chapter 19. Get out of the city. Did you ever hear of the frog experiment? Put the frog in a pot of cold water. Of course, you know, a frog is what they call it? Cold-blooded. Their temperature changes with their environment. And so you turn the burner on and the water gradually heats up and the frog just kind of adjusts as the temperature changes, and without realizing it, eventually boils to death. There's a danger of becoming desensitized to evil. Years ago, the Associated Press reported on the effects of media violence on children. Quote, "It can lead to emotional desensitization. The more they see it, the more they will think it is okay. The more they think it is okay, the more they will participate." End of quote. Lot and his family lived in Sodom, and they lived there long enough that the wickedness of the city had a terrible impact upon their lives. And that's what we'll see tonight. The men in the city compassed the house, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. Men came from every part of the city. There were young men, there were old men, they were men from every station in life in the city. It says in verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." They had wicked intentions. I'll try to deal with this subject matter in chapter 19 as delicately as possible, but it is what it is. Some people want us to understand that the sin in the city of Sodom was the failure to provide hospitality. In an article entitled "Christianity and Homosexuality" by Michael Piazza, senior pastor of the Cathedral of Hope Metropolitan Community in Dallas, Texas, and he says this, quote, "There are several problems with the traditional interpretation of this passage. Whether or not the intent of the men of Sodom was sexual, the inhospitality and injustice coming from the mob and generally characterizing the community were the sins in Sodom. If indeed the men were homosexuals, then why would Lot offer them his daughters?" Well, that's a legitimate question, but I want to say, when people have gone to a certain point of wickedness, they're willing to indulge in many different forms of it. However, in spite of what Mr. Piazza says, Lot acknowledged that the request had a moral connotation. Notice in verse 6 of the chapter, "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him." He was being cautious because the two angels were inside, as well as the rest of his family. Verse 7, "And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." In fact, he used this same language with regard to his two daughters in verse 8. He says, "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man." Is he saying that his daughters have never met a man? No. It has a moral connotation to the language. He says, "Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing." They had intended to do something to these people. To do some wickedness. Would you go to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17? Deuteronomy 23:17. It's not pleasant using these terms, but they're in the scripture and we must confront them. Notice it says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters." We understand the connotation of that word. "Nor a sodomite of the sons." Look at the corresponding moral implication between those two terms. By using the term sodomite, it is very clear that this is not referring to residents of the city of Sodom, but it is referring to men who behaved in the same way that the men of Sodom behaved. There's no question about what this verse is saying regarding certain women. And the verse makes it very clear that there's something very morally bad about certain men. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24. "And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Now, the Sodomites' primary desire has a certain connotation. But as I said before, sexually perverted people carried to the extreme can indulge in a variety of perversions and experimentations. Note that the men in the city did marry. There were men in the city who were married. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14, it refers to Lot's sons-in-law. Obviously, they're married. But many people today who are married still indulge in all different kinds of immoral acts. How do we know that the immoral activity is referred to when this verse says they did according to all the abominations of the nations? We'll go over to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And we'll begin in verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings in the land of Egypt," so it all started in the land of Egypt, "after the doings in the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do." So it expanded from Egypt to the nations in the land of Canaan. In verses 6 through 23, God lists for us numerous different relationships that he does not recognize as legitimate relationships. And he concludes down in verse 24, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 24, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you." You know what that is explaining to us? Why did God want to get rid of all of these nations and replace them with the nation of Israel? Because they were as bad as Sodom. Simple as that. And so 1 Kings 14:24 is correct when it says, "Sodomites in the land did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." Sodom wasn't only the only bad place in Canaan. It just got bad first. And then it spread. So back to Genesis chapter 19, and we go to verse 9. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 9. "And they said, stand back." That is, they tell Lot to stand back out of the way. They intend to go in. "And they said again, this one fellow," now the crowd is talking, and this mob is referring to Lot. "This one fellow came in to sojourn." Remember, Lot was not a native of Sodom. He was an outsider. And now they are accusing him of being an outsider. "And he will needs be a judge." Oh, this outsider who came in among us is going to be our judge. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." We had wicked intentions with these two men. "Lot, you better stand back because we're coming after you." They will not have Lot be their judge. And by saying in verse 9 that they will deal worse with Lot than with them, the angels, their own words show their intent was to do bad. Not to withhold hospitality, but actually to do something bad. And verse 9 continues, "And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." Now, remember, the two men they're after are angels. What if these men had actually successfully broken down the door and gotten inside and tried to take hold of the two angels? Can you imagine what would have happened? Well, watch this. Verse 10. "The men," the two angels, "put forth their hand." They opened the door far enough they could reach out, grab hold of Lot, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And then, verse 11, "And they," the men of verse 10, "smote the men that were outside," that were at the door of the house, "with blindness," both small and great. That was the least they could do. They could have done a lot worse. And they will do a lot worse because they've been sent to destroy the whole city. But now the men are blind and they can't find the door. So in verse 12, the angels tell Lot that he should speak to his children. He has more children than just the two daughters. Verse 12, "The men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And the angels explained to Lot why. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. They say to Lot, you have to get out of here, because this city is coming down. Take as many of your family members as you possibly can. So Lot speaks to his sons-in-law, apparently has more daughters. Verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, more than one. So Lot has at least four daughters, two that are still in his house, at least two that are married. And he says to them, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They thought he was joking. You got to be kidding. Who's going to destroy this city? Now, by implication, the sons-in-law are natives of the city of Sodom. Why did Lot let his daughters marry men of Sodom? But there's some things that we learn about Lot's family. He appears not to have any sons. They're never mentioned. Lot has more than two daughters. In fact, since he has two unmarried daughters and more than one son-in-law, Lot has to have at least four daughters, if not more. His sons-in-law are no doubt natives of Sodom and have not respect for the Lord. His sons-in-law thought Lot was joking. And Lot's married daughters appear to have completely bought into the lifestyle of the Sodomites. We never hear from them. But the amazing thing is, Lot still has two daughters that are pure. Wow. Well, he said they've never known man. Now, Lot knew the difference between good and evil. He understood what wickedness was. And he said, do not so wickedly, in verse 7. So he knows the opposite. Yet, Lot continued to live in this place. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. God delivered just Lot. Well, we know it's not saying only Lot, because Lot and his two daughters did leave the city. The word just here is referring to Lot being a saved man. He was justified, declared righteous in the eyes of God. But it says in this verse that he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It bothered him. Well, good. It should. Lot's a righteous man. He's been born again. He's saved. He's a saved man. He's a man of God, and he's living in a wicked city, and it bothered him. Good for him. And it bothered him every day. Verse 8 in 2 Peter chapter 2, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul. How often? From day to day. Every day it bothered him, but he stayed. It had an irritating effect on him. it vexed his, he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It had this irritating effect on him, and yet he stayed as he watched his children and his wife be influenced by the wickedness of that place. Back to Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. And while he lingered, the men, the two men, the angels are telling him, get out. We've got to go. It's time to go. And he's finding one excuse after another to stay just a little bit longer, stay just a little bit longer. He's lingering. He kept delaying departure. That's what the word linger means. So finally, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Picture what's going on here. There are two angels and there are four people. So each angel grabs a hand of two people. And they're dragging these people out of the city. The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him. There were obviously not 10 righteous people in the city. Remember the bargain? I will not destroy the city for 10 righteous people. There were obviously not 10 righteous people, but Lot was a righteous man. And so instead of destroying the city with the few righteous people that were there, God in his mercy decided to get them out of the city before he destroyed it. And so it says they brought him forth and set him without the city. Brought him. Probably could have said dragged him out of the city. But even after he was out of the city, he still wanted to live in a city. Now remember, he grew up living in tents, a sheep herder, a nomad, if you will, someone who traveled from place to place for the grazing of their sheep and living in tents. That's what Abraham was still doing. But notice in verse 19, behold now thy servant, Lot speaking to the angels, behold now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. He was grateful to God for saving his life. And the angels had told him to flee to the mountains, verse 17. See what it says in verse 17? It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But Lot objected in verse 18, and Lot said, oh, not so, my Lord. Did the Lord meet Lot outside of the city? Maybe the Lord, remember the Lord and two angels had met with Abraham? The two angels bring Lot out of the city. Maybe the Lord showed up. I don't know if he's calling the angels Lord or if he's talking to the Lord or whatever. But he objects to going to the mountain. No, I don't want to go to the mountain. Verse 19, he says, I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. Oh, the mountain's a bad place. I'm going to die up there in a mountain. I need a city to live in. Verse 20. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He can't give up city life. We see how merciful God is. Verse 21. And he, we wonder if this is the Lord speaking, or speaking through the angel, we're not sure, said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. You need to get out of the area of Sodom, because I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy Gomorrah. And there are some other cities in this area that I'm going to destroy at the same time. And you need to get out of here. And so, verse 22, therefore the name of the city that Lot was fleeing to, this little one, was called Zoar. And Zoar means insignificant. It was just a little one. So God let him go. But we also see how fierce God's judgment is, verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It must have been a sight to behold. Fireballs coming out of heaven, dropping all over that city and utterly annihilating it from existence. Verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Everything was gone, burned up. And we see how much God cared for Abraham. Abraham gets up early, goes to a place where he last talked with the Lord. It was from this vantage point that he had a visual in the direction of Sodom. And it says in verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he sees the smoke, verse 28. He looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. But God had protected Abraham's nephew, which was Abraham's objective in his negotiations, verse 29. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Now remember in verse 17, the angels had warned Lot and his family not to look back. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. But Lot's wife just could not resist. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Strange thing, isn't it? There she is. Or so they say. This is near the Dead Sea. It's the Mount of Sodom. That's what they call it. And you see how white it is? The soil is 95% salt. Not a thing will grow there. And that tower of salt's been there for a long time. They say it's Lot's wife. Who knows? But it is 95% salt. And it is an interesting kind of a thing. But she couldn't resist. Because that's where her heart was. She had lived there so long, in spite of the fact that everything irritated Lot, it didn't irritate his wife. She came to love it. She loved it so much, she couldn't obey the instruction of the angels. And she suffered the consequence. But then notice what Lot does in verse 30. Lot went up out of Zoar. Remember, he wanted to go to this city because it's just a little one. But you know, and the Lord said, okay, that particular little one I will spare. But all around him is this utter destruction going on. And Lot fears for his life. And so he runs out of the city and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Ended up in the mountain anyway. I'm not going to go over the details of this for the sake of the children that are among us, but Lot's two daughters proved themselves to be impure in their hearts. The result is two nations that would bother Israel for a long time to come. You can read about it. It's kind of plain what happens. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole? Well, it doesn't take a lot of influence to corrupt you. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, wickedness only gets worse with time. It's the way it is. Their word will eat as doth a canker. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may many be defiled. Oh my. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. We are all susceptible to influence if we are not on our guard. Get out of the city. What did Joseph do when he was confronted with the wickedness of Potiphar's wife? He got out of the house. He didn't stay. He ran. Got out of the house. Long before God was going to destroy Sodom, Lot should have gotten out of the city. And before we are corrupted by immorality, we should run and get out of that place as fast as we can. Get out of the city. There's no place for a righteous person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this instruction. Kind of ties in with what we were talking about this morning. So there's something important for us that you have here. Teach us from the life of Lot that we should not linger in the house of wickedness. Give us a heart like Joseph and make us ready to run from wickedness as soon as we see it. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.